Let's turn together to our text for today, a text that is allocated for this particular Sunday in the church's calendar. We're going to look at Luke chapter 17 and the verses 11 through 19. If you were reading in the book of Luke and following along and seeing what Luke does, you would see that in chapter 9, Jesus sets his GPS toward Jerusalem, and everything that happens from 11 to 19 is about different encounters and episodes with different people along the way. And we get multiple snapshots of different encounters that Jesus has with people we might not expect. In this particular text this morning, we see Jesus encountering a group of 10 lepers on the boundary, on a border between two neighboring peoples. And whenever there's a boundary, there's the temptation to think about who's in and who's out. And in this particular text, there are 10 lepers who, by the rules, are supposed to social distance themselves. And if you follow the Torah, Leviticus 13 and 14, they're supposed to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to be a public warning to everyone to keep your distance so that you stay safe. These lepers don't cry out, "Unclean, unclean." They cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us, have mercy on us." And we get to see what happens next. We know that one of those 10 lepers comes back and says, "Thank you." And the invitation today is for us to think about not just those 10, not just that one, but the Lord who responds to people's cries for help. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for these gospel stories that remind us of our Lord, that remind us that you journey with us, that remind us of your grace and your mercy and the invitation to respond with gratitude. So today we begin this time saying thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom that we have to read it and hear it and lean into it. And thank you for the opportunity you give us to be a people who join you on a mission. So give us your grace, mercy, and your peace. Give us clarity as we speak and as we listen, and help us to be faithful as we seek to walk in your word. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Is there something I can do about that? Nope. Okay. So if you have been in Georgetown's orbit through the month of November, you know that something that's very near and dear to our hearts is Operation Turkey Box. We've asked our congregation over the last month to submit names of people in your orbit who are perhaps alone or isolated or grieving or in need. Maybe they haven't had a church connection ever, or maybe they're a church alumni. And here's a way in which we as a congregation have been able to connect with people through hard times. Like our Feeding America ministry, recipients are up. Last year we gave out about 100 meals, and this year it was 130. On a day of giving thanks, in a month when we have been focusing on thank you, I think it's important for us to hear some of the thank yous that have come back to us. Thank you from friends in Lake City, the ones who waited eagerly in a cold parking lot, ready for a delivery from one of our volunteers. Thank you from a Syrian refugee who has had no exposure to Christianity, who's never picked up a Bible, and whose first encounter with Christians was an Operation Turkey Box dinner. Thank you and relief from a 7 or 8 year old little boy or girl who called into church on Monday afternoon at about 3 o'clock, wondering if that delivery was still coming. The call came from a 7 or 8 year old little boy or girl because he or she was the only one who spoke English in that family and who could translate mom or dad's concern to us. Thanks from a volunteer who packed boxes and said, "It was so good to be shoulder to shoulder, side by side, once again with church people. It was so good for us to serve again together." Thank you from a recipient who came to the door after the doorbell rang on his or her hands and knees. And perhaps my favorite story, thanks from a retired couple who were delivering boxes and came to a house, rang the doorbell, and then found someone sitting on the couch drinking a beer at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We were so taken back and even offended. No, offended that they didn't offer us one. I love this church. In the story that Luke tells us today, there are many places where we could go. Jesus is on a journey. This is the biggest travel day of in the U.S. in the entire year. There are people who the church could consider insiders or outsiders. Heaven knows that when we do ministry with people, with other people, that we have to set aside our own preferences and our own judgments because we have models for the way in which people are supposed to act and behave and think. And when we do ministry with one another and with a needy world, we have to set that aside because people don't fit our preferred models. And we have to work hard oftentimes to not let those things that frustrate us or discourage us or make us angry put up a wall, not from them, but on our side. In the gospel story that we read today, Jesus goes to the edges. He goes to the boundaries. He goes to the borders, to the places that are frustratingly gray when we wish they were black and white. He goes because he hears people's cries and pleas for mercy. These are people who are supposed to identify themselves by what's wrong with them. But these are people who don't do that. They go to the places where they need help. And that's the place from which they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when they do, they become a model for us. This is the kind of faith that Luke keeps drawing our attention to in this travel narrative on the way to Jerusalem. So I'm grateful for permission to share another story of another person of faith this week. The week was busy, and he was weary, and he was worn. And he had lots to do. He was behind on multiple scheduled appointments and came across a woman who was at a local food bank And she had a three-wheeled bicycle, and she had a cart that needed to be filled with groceries. And she was struggling with it. And he said, oh, I'm too busy to stop. I'm going to keep going on my appointments. And when it came out, she was still struggling. And thinking about all that there was to do, yet to do, he finally was nudged to stop, pull over, and roll down the window. Ma'am, do you need some help? I was just praying that God would send someone to help me. And in that moment, the helper became the one who was helped. So I suspect that you and I get it in Luke's story that nine people didn't take the time to come back. I suspect you and I understand that only one person had the bandwidth in that moment to fall at Jesus' feet and say thank you. Because like the other nine, we've got lots of things to do. We get it. We understand. Some of us have had emergency prayers or crisis prayers that have been answered, and then we move on. Some of us have busy lives and other things to do, and we need to get back at it. Some of us have had a prayer answered, and then we've forgotten, or we've forgotten what it feels like in that moment, because that moment is gone, and now we need to keep moving. Some of us have had the right medication or the right treatment, and the condition is gone, and we need to keep going. Some of us say to ourselves, well, this really ran its course, and I'm glad that it's done, and now on to what is next. Some of us are preoccupied with so many things that we don't have time or take time to absorb what has happened or come to us. And we don't recognize how rich or deep that healing was. Jesus says, were not 10 cleansed and only one of you returns with a word of thanks? And that's a foreigner? Rise and go because your faith has made you whole. I think Jesus gives us this story. I think Luke tells the congregation this Jesus story because it is filled with possibilities for us to see ourselves and God and our neighbors differently. The goal of discipleship is not just cleansing, but it's about wholeness and it's about maturity. Life with Christ is about leaning into what has happened to us and letting gratitude take over and take over our thoughts, our feelings, our motives, and our actions. So that the church not only responds to others who are in need, who say, help us, help me, but we see the great need in ourselves every day to live in that gratitude. This has been the Spirit's nudging for some of us this past week to remind ourselves that we are not just a community of Sunday, but we are a community of Jesus followers every day. There are wonderful things that are happening in the life of this body, in its connections with one another, every day of the week, and we ought to be so grateful for that. The reaching toward one another, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Bible studies that still take place, some of them virtually. The correspondence, the connecting with one another, the handing out turkeys and food and meals. All of these things are a product of our deep connectedness with one another and our shared love for mission and service because we have been visited by one who has heard our cries and our pleas for mercy. He's met us on the journey right where we are, so that in spite of all of our frustration and our disappointment about what's been taken away on a Sunday, we recognize that this community of faith is so much more than Sunday. Because we are a people who live with Jesus every day, wanting and seeking that wholeness, not just cleansing that the priest could declare, but the wholeness that comes from responding through a life of gratitude. And that life of discipleship sometimes is so hard. I don't know a person in this room or watching who cannot wait for the ball to drop in Times Square on 2020 and for us to have 2020 behind us. Amen? Who is not sick of it? Who is not weary? Who of us is having difficulty sleeping or sleeping too much? Who of us is grouchy with our family and with everyone else in our life? We are all there. And the challenge for us is to be like that Samaritan. That Samaritan who responds in gratitude, who pushes through all of the other preoccupation and the invitation to follow Jesus and fall at his feet and say, thank you, thank you. Because we want the wholeness, not just the cleansing, but the wholeness and the maturity in Christ that comes when we are motivated by gratitude. For those of you for whom it is important to be reformed, that is the essence of our reformed faith, is the life of gratitude. There's nothing that we bring. There's nothing that we do. There's nothing we can say other than, Lord, have mercy. And everything else is the motivation of the Holy Spirit of God who floods us, who haunts us, and moves us in new directions of responses of gratitude, of grateful living. What more can I do for all that you have done for us? Thus, the life of Thanksgiving is not a day of a nationally recognized holiday. It's so much more than that. It comes from a place of gratitude that leads us into deeper wholeness. Here's another thank you. A reminder that we are church of the everyday, not just Sunday. From the Christina Spidell family, with permission to read this. Our family is so thankful for the support we have received from you, our congregation, over the past few months. Accepting a cancer diagnosis, recovering from surgery, and undergoing an extensive treatment plan has been a difficult journey, and it's been compounded with having to face these challenges during a time of social distancing. We have greatly missed being able to be in community with our congregation. But we have been so thankful for the outpouring of support through meals, gift cards, flowers, and cards. These acts of kindness have been rays of light on days that have felt dark and have made what feels like a heavy burden to carry just a little bit lighter. We are so thankful for you, for your prayers, and your support. This is what it means to be a community of Jesus followers every day, not just Sunday. What are we trying to do in community? We're trying to live into loving God, loving each other, loving and serving the world. We want this to be our heartbeat because we have a Savior who has gone to the edges and the borders. We are the ones who once defined ourselves by what was wrong with us, but we have chosen instead to define ourselves by our need for mercy and the one who has heard our pleas. We are an everyday church community, and every one of us is trying to recover from selfishness, trying to recover from consumerism, trying to recover from being self-centered, trying to recover from all kinds of idolatries that hold us back, and turning instead to Jesus, who we call Master and Savior, who helps us to see our neighbors and the world in need with the same kind of eyes that saw us. And the good news today is we don't need those old priests in the Old Testament to declare us clean. We have got one who makes us whole. Jesus, who is Master, the one who has mercy on us, invites us to live every day in response, so that every day our life is a thank you. Every day our life is like that Samaritan who was on the outside, that everyone said, "A Samaritan?" Falling at his knees, falling at his feet, and saying, "Thank you." This is the life that we are pursuing together, especially in a time that's very difficult, especially when it's very hard to give ourselves or someone else a little slack, especially when it's hard to see someone else's need. We hear Jesus stories like this, and the stories that we have lived into and leaned into together this week, and we are reminded of who we are and whose we are, those who have been shown mercy. Brothers and sisters, live a life of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to you, O God, because there is nowhere else for us to turn. And looking into your eyes that are filled with mercy and forgiveness, healing and wholeness, we find ourselves coming home. And then you send us. You send us into all of our relationships to see with those kinds of eyes, to look at one another with mercy, with kindness, with compassion, with more than tolerance, but with a gospel heart full, waiting to share with others. So in these testing and trying times, we pray for your mercy yet again, that you might find gratitude in us and that we might find it as well. And pursuing it and pursuing you, we might find new wholeness as those who seek to follow you. Grant this prayer, we pray, as our plea to you. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We pray it in the power and in the name of your Holy Spirit. Amen.